Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Legislative Monday with Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio's State House correspondent. I'm Ben Kiefer with Joyce, who is at the State House Law Library. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
As we like to do on Mondays, we like to tackle issues that are being debated in our State House and get your input as well. Today, we're looking at possible major changes in store for Iowans in the energy sector. We'll hear several perspectives this hour on the energy bill being debated by our lawmakers. You can join our conversation 1-866-780-9100. Perhaps during the course of the hour, if you jot that number down, you would have a question or a concern about this omnibus energy bill being discussed by Iowa lawmakers. 1-866-780-9100. Or if you'd like to email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Well, Joyce, give us the basics on this bill. What does it do?
Well, it's what we like to call an omnibus bill. It has a lot of different pieces to it, all having to do with energy policy in the state. Like I said, it has a lot of stuff in there. There's some parts of it that have to do with natural gas. There are parts of it that have to do with rural electric cooperatives. The parts of the bill that are getting the most discussion have to do with energy efficiency programs, and also how rates are set before the Iowa Utilities Board.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's introduce the other guests there at the State House Law Library with you. We have Senator Matt McCoy, Democrat from Des Moines. Welcome to you,
Hi,
Senator.
Ben. Hi.
Also, Josh Mandelbaum is with us. He's a staff attorney at the Environmental Law and Policy Center and is a Des Moines City Council member. Josh, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
Julie Vandehoof is Manager of Public Affairs for Alliant Energy. Welcome to you, Julie.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon to all of you. And as I said, join our conversation with your questions, 1-866-780-9100. We'll be discussing many facets of this bill. But Senator Matt McCoy, let's start off with you. Let's have your view on the two aspects that Joyce mentioned there at the end, the energy efficiency programs and the rate change. What is your view?
So, this is a major departure from Iowa's energy efficiency policy in the state of Iowa. Iowans have enjoyed more than $400 million in energy efficiency savings, This change, this piece of legislation, threatens to undermine all of the Iowa energy efficiency programs in the state, essentially creating what's currently in the bill an opt-in provision, and it would be eligible as a consumer. You could decide to opt into the program once every 5 years for a 2-month open enrollment period. Mm-hmm. That would be for both residential customers and industrial customers. So, in essence, we believe that this piece of policy, as it relates to the opt-in, will actually decimate the energy efficiency program in Iowa that we're enjoying.
Explain your view. Why does not having it mandatory across the board decimate it?
Well, there's a couple reasons. Number one is it's a fee that both industrial and residential users pay of up to 9%, and I think that there would be many people that would opt out of paying that, mm-hmm. Even though it's the right thing to do, and even though it results in long-term savings for the customer. Because when you have to build more generation and you have to spend more money on it, it will ultimately raise energy costs, and Iowa's been doing a good job. We also know that in the future we have huge opportunities, as much as $3.3 billion in net economic benefits by getting after more energy efficient programs. We think we can save up to 17% of electric use and 15% of gas use. So it's just the wrong way for the state to be going at this time. We should be embracing more energy efficiency, not discouraging it because of a fee that's going to be an easy opt-out provision for people that just don't want to pay a fee and don't understand how it impacts them long-term.
Senator Matt McCoy, Democrat from Des Moines. Now, we reached out to several Republican senators on the Commerce Committee, including the author of this bill, Senator Jake Chapman. All those Republicans we reached out to were either unavailable today or declined to join our conversation. Nevertheless, here's some audio from Jake Chapman, senator, Republican senator, making the point that some of these rebate programs, and we're talking about, Joyce, we're talking about these programs where you buy an energy efficient, refrigerator or a new appliance for your house, and they're rated according to energy efficiency, and you may get a rebate depending on whether they are.
Right. And the fees that both residential and commercial customers pay into the program, that's where the money comes from to pay for the rebates.
Okay, let's hear this bit of tape from Republican Senator Jake Chapman. He is the author of this bill, making the point that some of these rebate programs are redundant in 2018 when non-energy efficient appliances aren't really available in the marketplace.
In preparation for coming down to this meeting, I thought, you know what, I'm going to stop off at Lowe's, see what appliances cost, because we get rebates through energy efficiency on appliances, what have you. The appliances today are energy efficient. You're not going to go buy a non-efficient refrigerator. They don't sell it, right? And so the market has also recognized that we have to have energy efficiency.
Another point that Jake Chapman makes is that, and a sticking point for him, is that these energy efficiency programs, that the customers don't know how much they're paying into the program. Here's him making that point when the bill was debated in committee earlier this month.
My constituents don't even know what they're paying into this system. That is a shame. We should have transparency when we're taxing our constituents. In 1990, this piece of legislation came forward, and there was a 2% cap that was in place for electric, 1.5% for gas and propane. And that has been removed in 1996. And since then, we've just allowed this thing to float around through regulators, rate regulators, not legislators, not people that are responsible to respond to their constituents. That's our responsibility as legislators. I think this is an important piece and component of this bill to safeguard our constituents and consumers. I would hope that some here would be willing to step forward and say this is good for our people of Iowa, to make sure that they understand what they're paying. In preparation for coming down to this meeting, I thought...
Okay, Republican Senator Jake Chapman there. Senator Matt McCoy, you disagree with what this bill aims to do. How do you answer the specific points there made on tape by Senator Chapman?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things he was talking about was energy efficient appliances, and certainly that's where everything's moving. But more importantly, there is there are components of the energy efficiency program that allow for you to increase weatherization, for example, blowing in more insulation into your attic, and then you get a rebate. You get a rebate when you upgrade your heating systems and you go to a more efficient, energy-efficient furnace or air conditioner. Those are actually more expensive, and consumers have to be willing to pay the upgrade, and right. if they know they're going to stay in the place and they're going to get the savings and they know they're doing the right thing by reducing their energy use, they'll do that. And so under that kind of a program, it would impact decisions that consumers make. On the industrial side, corporations have to look at their bottom line, and they have to make decisions based upon the cost-benefit ratios. And so if there is a pool of money and they are upgrading interior plant investments, they will make decisions based upon the return and if there is an energy efficiency rebate and if there is a program that will award them credits for investing in the more expensive technology.
Senator McCoy, at that same subcommittee, there was a person representing Iowa's largest industrial users, and she said her point was that the really large industrial users, they're already just, you know, there's profit motive for becoming as energy efficient as they possibly can. They're already energy efficient. And so the money that they pay on top of that for a rebate program isn't needed.
Well, you know, I would just say there's a couple things that, you know, we could do for industrial users. One of them is a self-directed fund where their energy where the energy they pay into an energy efficiency program is used specifically for their location. And that that might be more enticement for them to make long-term investments. Oftentimes, the rule of thumb is that you have to have a return on your money in about 3 years for businesses to make the investment. So if it's close, if it's 4 years, 5 years, 6 years before they would get a return, they might not make the investment, and this would encourage them to make it, especially if it was self-directed within their own organization.
And the programs that you were talking about before, that individual homeowners, are audits part of that?
Yes, they actually do come out. They do an audit of your home. They look at your usage. They look for opportunities for savings. They talk to customers about setback meters, and there's also programs that allow you to reduce your usage during peak demand times. And then in addition to that, they provide opportunities for education as it relates to LED bulbs and making sure that people are using are setting their water heaters back to a lower setting, because oftentimes people have them turned up too high. So there's just a lot of education that's occurring in the home inspection, and then they actually go up and look at the attic and the loss of heat through the attics and windows.
Okay, so to be clear, at least in the current version of this bill, individual customers would be an opt-in program, so that you would have to make a conscious choice to opt into that. And if you didn't, you wouldn't be paying on it, and then you also wouldn't have these various services, the rebates and the audits and
right.
all that.
I think the programs would just essentially fold or go away.
If you just joined us, Senator Matt McCoy, Democrat from Des Moines, with me, Ben Kiefer, and Joyce Russell of Iowa Public Radio, and talk with our representative from Alliant Energy and from the Environmental Law and Policy Center as well on this issue. But first, let's go to our first caller. Eric is with us in Des Moines. Hi, Eric. I understand something you said that you'd like to comment on?
Yeah, I'm an architect here in Des Moines. And you know, we work with a lot of developers, and we do a lot of residential work, multi-story, multifamily. And while the majority of appliances are energy efficient, not all of them are. And I guess I'm afraid we make the decision every time we do a new project on whether or not we're going to go with the energy efficient. We go through energy audits with an energy group. And we get offered rebates through Mid-American or Alliant or whatever the local utility is, and we make those decisions on what we're going to purchase for those projects based on the on how that works in their total overall budget. But like we see fuel efficient cars out on the road, when gas prices went down, people started buying big trucks again, and people are buying them because it's affordable. They will do the same thing with appliances and other aspects of their homes because they will be able to get a less expensive product that's less efficient, but it doesn't make any difference to them because they're, you know, it's what's best for me at this particular point in time without any long-term thought about how it's going to impact everybody going forward.
Okay, Eric, thank you very much for your view. Eric says he's an architect and works with developers in the Des Moines area. Thanks, Eric. So let's hear some other perspectives. Our other guests at the State House Law Library, Julie Vandehoof is the manager of public affairs for Alliant Energy. How many counties is Alliant present in Iowa, Julie?
Well, thank you, Ben. Alliant Energy proudly serves just over 1 million customers in 83 counties across the state, providing both heat and electricity.
Okay. Many parts, as Joyce pointed out, to this energy bill. What would you like to comment on? What do you support in this bill?
As
Alliant Energy, I'm asking you, of course.
Sure. Senate File 2311 is really about investing in Iowa's energy future. It's this legislation looks holistically at the energy industry, and this legislation creates opportunities for economic development and job growth through natural gas extension. It focuses on keeping costs low for Iowans, and this deals with regulatory efficiencies and also continuing Iowa's leadership in renewables. We have been a leader in areas of the energy portfolio. We want to continue our leadership, and we also want to work with our customers to help them be successful as well.
Mm-hmm. Specifically to this energy efficiency program that rewards the buying of appliances or a higher, more efficient furnace, for instance. We just heard from that architect in Des Moines that it seems that does go into his decision of what appliance, what furnace you choose. What's your position on that?
Alliant Energy has been a long-standing supporter of Iowa's energy efficiency programming. And to give you a little bit of history, public policy on energy efficiency was first established in 1990. That was 28 years ago. And a lot has changed in energy since that time. And so we believe it's healthy to have a conversation at the Iowa Capitol and with legislators and stakeholders on what energy efficiency is now and how we should prepare our state for the future with energy efficiency.
Mm-hmm. So specifically to the point of Senator McCoy, that if you make it an opt-in or out proposition with these energy efficiency programs, that it will decimate the energy efficiency programs. Do you, Alliant Energy, see it that way?
To take a different perspective, we think that the legislation currently drafted does not eliminate energy efficiency. It gives customers more choice with their dollars on their utility bills. It also educates customers on the benefits of energy efficiency and the programs that are available. Mm-hmm. Energy efficiency has evolved over the past several decades. In 1990, we didn't have digital thermostats, but now we have the Nest and Ecobees, and we have technology that helps customers be more engaged with their energy use.
Josh Mandelbaum is with us of the Environmental Law and Policy Center. Josh, you are a staff attorney there, also a Des Moines City Council member. Give us your view. I guess we're on the energy efficiency program to begin with. What are your views on that?
Yeah, the bill as it currently stands would decimate energy efficiency programs. And in turn, that would have far-reaching impacts. Part of the success story that we have, not just in clean energy leadership in the state, but in terms of keeping our rates low, is because we have strong, long-standing energy efficiency programs. Energy efficiency is the least cost resource. And what that means is by implementing energy efficiency across a large number of customers, you avoid the need for building new power plants. So just since 2009 alone, we've avoided the need for 500 megawatt power plants. That's a little smaller than what Alliant just built in Marshalltown. And the new gas plant in Marshalltown was a $700 million endeavor. So avoiding those expensive new power plants is how consumers benefit from energy efficiency. And significantly scaling back and decimating these programs would lead to higher bills for consumers down the road.
Julie, if these gentlemen are right and this bill would decimate energy efficiency programs, isn't it inevitable that your company would have to build more power plants?
I don't believe that would be the case. As you look at energy efficiency, this legislation in no way, shape, or form eliminates energy efficiency. What it does is it gives customers more education on energy efficiency and gives customers more choice in participating in energy efficiency programs. Under current law, energy efficiency is a pass-through fee on customer bills. For Alliant Energy residential customers, that's 3.5% of their utility bill is passed through on each month's bill towards energy efficiency programming. We want customers to be able to know how much they're paying in for energy efficiency, but also participate in a program that meets their needs.
What's wrong with making a choice yourself, Josh, whether to buy into these programs or not?
Well, you know, the choice that they're providing is very constrained. So energy efficiency is an important energy resource, but we're singling out one resource that some policymakers don't seem to like without looking at the other energy efficiency or energy resources. So, for example, we'd be okay if you wanted to create more transparency and put the energy efficiency on the bill, but also put what we're paying for a coal plant, put what we're paying for natural gas and nuclear and wind and solar, put all of these energy efficiency pieces on your bill. And if you want to give customers choices, I don't think it's a workable system, but give customers choices about opting out of other forms of energy then. I mean, that's the reason we don't do that is because it's very difficult to create an energy system in that manner. But don't single out one energy resource, particularly the least cost energy resource, the one that's most beneficial to customers, and target it that way. If you're going to do transparency, make it transparent for everyone and every resource.
Let's see if we can squeeze in a call. We have a number of callers. Laura in Des Moines. We're coming up on a break. Laura, you had a quick question, I think?
Yes, I just wanted to be clear. Is the LIHEAP, the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, is that at all connected with this bill? And is that something that is that could be cut? I'm just curious about that.
No, that is that's a separate state program, and that is not impacted by this bill.
This is Julie with Alliant. I would add that this legislation specifically states that the energy efficiency dollars shall be used to help low-income individuals with home weatherization. So that's still a component of this legislation for energy efficiency dollar use.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment to discuss further the omnibus energy bill being debated at the Iowa State House. I'm Ben Kiefer with IPR State House correspondent Joyce Russell. We have Josh Mandelbaum with us, Senator Matt McCoy, Julie Vanderhoof, and we'll hopefully have input from you if you would like. 1-866-780-9100. Your questions, concerns about this energy bill being discussed by Iowa lawmakers. Perhaps you've taken advantage of the energy efficiency programs. What do you think of what's being discussed? Ben Kiefer, back with more of River to River. Joyce Russell in just a moment.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow on this program, my guest is neuroscientist and nutritionist Lisa Moscone. She's the author of a new book, Brain Food, The Surprising Science of Eating for Cognitive Power. That's what our gut has to do with our brains tomorrow on this program. Today, it's a legislative Monday. We're looking at changes in store, possibly for Iowans, hearing several perspectives on the omnibus energy bill being debated at the State House. Ben Kiefer, along with Joyce Russell, our Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent, also at the State House Law Library, Josh Mandelbaum, staff attorney at the Environmental Law and Policy Center. He's also a Des Moines City Council member. Senator Matt McCoy, Democrat from Des Moines, Julie Vanderhoof, the manager of public affairs for Alliant Energy. want to mention again, we reached out to several Republican senators on the Commerce Committee, including the author of this bill. They were either unavailable today or declined to join our conversation. Joyce, let's tackle an aspect we didn't give much time to in the first half hour, the idea that the rate changing process part of this bill would change, or this bill would change that. Explain a little bit about that.
Well, I'll just give you a few examples as I understand it. It changes how the Utilities Board can set rates in a way that could affect renewable energy. Under this bill, some rate changes could be made without a hearing. It will shorten the time the Utilities Board can take to approve new energy facilities before they're built, and the consumer advocate has some concerns about that. And there would also be, currently the Utilities Board decides, whether a utility can raise their rates. Currently, that's based on, the year before, what the rates have been, the expenses have been. This bill would let them make do a forward-looking test with projections into the future for what kinds of rates would be justified.
Mm-hmm. Julie Vandehoof, I understand Alliant Energy, which you represent, is for these changes. Why? Why is this necessary?
Well, thank you, Ben. This is really about looking at opportunities for customer engagement. I want to start off by saying that this legislation does not change the Utilities Board's oversight of rates and regulations in the state for investor-owned or rate-regulated utilities. What it does, and I know Joyce briefly touched on voluntary rates, as customers are requesting green programs or new solar garden concepts, this legislation would allow for us to more quickly respond to customers with programs that are voluntary. So voluntary rates are programs where customers can voluntarily opt in to participate. So as the energy industry changes, as we're looking at doing more community solar or more renewables, we want to make sure that we have regulations in place that allows for the oversight of the Utilities Board as we offer these programs.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying this furthers renewable energy, pushes, incentivizes renewable energy as a customer of Alliant Energy?
Yes.
Mr. Mandelbaum?
Well, as someone who works on renewable energy and wants to see more renewable energy, we actually think this doesn't have that effect. We've seen an example play out. Alliant created an offering that they call Beyond Solar that is targeted to customers who are interested in solar but maybe can't have it because their house isn't in the right place or they live in an apartment. Well, this program, which is a voluntary program, was designed in a way that it would be incredibly expensive for customers. And it didn't follow industry best practices, things that we've seen employed successfully elsewhere. And the Iowa Utility Board process allowed folks like us to get involved and to advocate for a program that would be more successful, that would be more in line with what customers in other parts of the country have asked for and have responded to positively, rather than a program that quite honestly could almost be deceptive to customers the way it's marketed.
Senator McCoy?
Section 15 of the bill says that it allows a utility to file for a new tariff or rate change at any time. No hearing is ever required, and the board must respond within 60 days to whatever filing they're filing for a new tariff or rate change. And I think that will have a dramatic impact on the ability to move through the rate proceeding process, and oftentimes these rate proceedings take much longer than 60 days. In the original bill, it was 30 days. They've dropped it now to 60 days, but I think it's still too fast, and the consumer advocate was...
With this speeded-up process, Senator McCoy, what is your fear? Give us a concrete example of what might happen or you fear might happen under this new speeded-up approval by the Iowa Utilities Board.
Well, I think what it's doing is making it's making it harder to study whether the tariff or the increase is a result of necessary investment that they're making. It creates a lack of transparency, and I think it allows for utilities to increase their revenue at the cost of the consumer.
And Julie?
I would just like to note that this is voluntary. So we cannot increase rates on customers just ad hoc. This is a voluntary program that customers would voluntarily contact us to sign up for. And that is all while the Iowa Utilities Board has broad oversight over rate-regulated utilities. So we would still go through the same regulations we always have as it relates to rates on customers and rate orders. This does not diminish that or change it. This is for green programs and new voluntary opt-in programs.
But it changes the time for the hearing, and the consumer advocate says that that's not enough time to study it.
So this actually adds, it's called a voluntary tariff. So this is actually a voluntary program outside of the rates that are set for a utility. So this is an opportunity. This is something we're doing to help our customers that want new green technologies. They want community solars or green programs, and this is a way that we can do it for customers and respond quicker and respond within 60 days to have it go through the regulatory process to respond.
Well, Mr. Mandelbaum, what is it about these changes in the rate-making process that you feel are going to harm renewable energy?
So there's the process that that Alliant was describing, the voluntary process, that we don't think provides opportunity to fully understand the products, to provide alternatives, to really work to provide something that customers will use and will benefit them. But then there's other pieces of the bill. So we haven't even talked about the change that would allow for discriminatory rates that's currently in the bill.
Tell us about that.
So this is in Section 17 of the bill, and one of the longstanding pieces of the clean energy leadership in the state is a prohibition on discriminating against customers for making the choice to use renewable energy. This vastly undermines that protection, and that protection has been something that we have used in multiple cases in front of the Iowa Utilities Board. A few years back, there was a case where a farmer just outside of Grinnell, a customer of Pella Electric Cooperative, had already installed solar at three different facilities, at his home and at two different hog facilities. And then his rural electric cooperative wanted to charge an $85 solar fee. An $85 fee on each of those facilities. It was a huge charge. It would have created an incentive for him to actually unplug the solar rather than keep producing because that charge was so extreme. This non-discrimination provision is a big part of what protected him in that case and a big part of how we were able to file a complaint with the Iowa Utilities Board and get the cooperative to back off.
So the bill would just take that out of Iowa law, that non-discriminatory thing, and Julia's shaking her head no.
Well, the language would still be there, but they have added additional language that effectively undermines it so that it wouldn't be used as it is today. It wouldn't provide the protection it provides today. It would provide much, much weaker protection. And that case that I talked to you about in Pella, that $85 solar charge, that would have been allowed under the language in the proposed bill.
Well, Julie, why don't you explain why that change is needed? Why are you supporting that change that Mr. Mandelbaum says would take protections away from people who spend money on alternative energy?
Well, let me share with you, Alliant Energy does support renewable energy. We actually have the state's largest solar array built in Dubuque. So that's in addition to close to $2 billion worth of investment in wind. So we are a supporter of renewable energy, and we think this legislation, and specifically Section 17, clarifies that all rates for customers have to be cost-based, and that this language in the bill actually codifies a prior decision on this topic. And I can say with confidence that nothing in this legislation changes current practice for individuals that have their own private generation.
Okay. We want to get to the phones. Our phone bank is loaded. Lots to talk about. It's many parts in this omnibus energy bill. I'll ask the listeners that come on the phone line to please be brief, get to the point. Bob is with us in Dubuque. You were just mentioned there as a site of a solar energy farm, right? Bob, are you calling about that?
I am, yes. I'm a professional photographer here in the area and a real estate broker, but I was hired by the city to take photos of the Alliant Energy's new solar array. One site is downtown and one is the largest out there. And what I was looking for is from the representative from Alliant, I believe it was Julie, if she could talk about what other renewable energy projects are Alliant planning for, and would this bill, and how, if so, how would it help them with those plans?
Okay, Bob, thanks. And Julie, please be brief. As I mentioned, we have a number of callers who would like to voice their questions.
Sure, Bob. Well, thank you very much for taking pictures of our beautiful facility. We have two, the West Des Moines Solar Garden, and then we also have one near the Port of Dubuque. Their combined size is about 6.2 megawatts, which is enough to power 850 homes in eastern Iowa. So, yes, this legislation would help us do more. I touched on voluntary rates and voluntary rates as it relates to doing more optional programs such as community solar or other green initiatives. There's another section in the bill that deals with its advance rate making, which is a utility term as it relates to pre-approval for new energy technology. This section of the bill helps to continue Iowa's leadership in renewables. It takes current regulatory structure we have in place and adds terms such as energy storage facilities, protection of the energy grid for cyber and physical security threats, electric vehicle infrastructure, and other emerging technologies to go through that same regulatory framework we have in place currently.
Okay. So advanced rate making, that means that a utility can go ahead and build something. Let's see. Josh explained advanced rate making.
So the simple way to explain it, advanced rate making allows the utilities to come in before they build a project so that they can get the terms that they'll be able to recover their costs for those projects once they're built. And that provides them certainty and it encourages them to make investments. And it has been very helpful for a number of positive things. You know, when Alliant does things like build wind, we've actually intervened in those cases supporting Alliant projects because we believe in renewable energy technology and we want to see that happen. And there are pieces of this change to the advance rate making that that we could be supportive of. But the way that this is done, you know, we also have concerns. We want to make sure in any advance rate making process that the consumer is protected and that new technologies provide the full benefit that they can to consumers. So one of the things in Alliant's last rate case that we were concerned about was their grid modernization efforts. And they're investing in expensive but needed modernization technologies. We were concerned that they were only using it from a utility side and that there were a lot of consumer benefits that were being left on the table. And it's making sure that these consumer benefits that allow you to use energy more efficiently, that allow you to integrate renewable energy better, that we are taking advantage of those parts of the technology in this process. And we have concern that maybe gets left out of the equation in this bill.
Our hour quickly coming to an end as we discuss the omnibus energy bill being debated at the State House with a variety of guests, several perspectives. Let's go back to our phones. Really, I'll ask our callers to be brief. We can get in a few more opinions or questions here. Diane is with us from Des Moines. Looking at my screen, Diane, you have some background. Probably wise to share your background before you share your view. Welcome. Diane, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I'm a former chair of the Utilities Board. I spent 20-some years there. So
in Iowa.
Yes. Yes, and I also worked at MidAmerican in energy efficiency and worked out in Washington, D.C. on it. I want to reiterate what Josh said. Energy efficiency is a resource. These are not giveaway programs. These are resources providing benefit to people in Iowa. We have a process at the board. It's extensive to make sure that the programs are cost effective. We've been doing it since 1990 and had leadership. We continue to see our our ranking fall, and it is because other states are seeing the value of this and continue to put more and more money into this. It also supports 20,000 jobs in the state. Nobody in the country has the kind of opt-in or opt-out program that is in this bill for all classes of customers. There's some limited opt-in, opt-out for industrial customers, but nobody has this wide-scale opt-in, opt-out program. And I do agree that I think it would be unworkable. We don't do this for any other resource, be it building a natural gas plant or even wind resources, where we allow people to say, you know, I'd like to invest in that. We have a process that says, what's really the lowest cost thing that we can invest in, and let's make that investment. And it really has led to Iowa having some of the lowest rates in the country and the lowest rates in the Midwest. So okay. I think we should look closely at that before we make these kinds of changes.
Okay, Diane Munns is a former Utilities Board chair here in Iowa. Thanks for calling into our show, Diane. And let's skip from Des Moines up to Urbandale and then get back to our panelists before we close the hour. Reggie is with us in Urbandale. What's your view on this? Reggie, you have a particular perspective from the energy sector?
Yes, Reggie Goodale with the Iowa Association of Electric Cooperatives. Been working in the industry for about 33 years myself on a lot of energy policy issues. And with regard to Section 17 of the bill on the discrimination, our Congress has had a long-standing policy, 40 years of policy in place to have cost-based rates in place for all customers, whether or not they own their own generation. Iowa itself has had that similar policy in place. We have cases, several cases that have appeared before the Iowa Utilities Board that have reinforced that, and Section 17 just merely codifies that provision into the Iowa Code.
Okay, Reggie, thank you very much from Urbandale. Let's see, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left.
Mr. Mandelbaum wanted to respond to that.
Absolutely.
Well, I've heard this codification argument, and as part of that, I went back and I looked at the case that the proponents of this section claim it codifies. And the board laid out a three-part test. It wasn't just cost-based. It was you had to use the same methodology that you used for developing other rates, and it had to be applied in a non-discriminatory manner. Their codification takes the easiest part of the test and leaves the other two parts of the test that protect consumers off. So this is a significant weakening of existing practice in front of the Iowa Utilities Board, and it would have an impact. Like I said, that $85 charge for that Pella Electric Cooperative customer would likely go through under this case. It wouldn't under the existing law.
And when we talk about cost-based rates, that just means you can charge customers more if the cost of producing that energy is more expensive? Is that what cost-based rates means?
Well, so cost-based looks at the cost that the utilities have in delivering energy, and they allocate that across their system of customers.
And so does that mean they could charge more for solar or wind than for other forms of generation?
Well, so right now, we don't separate out solar customers from other customers, right? If you're in a residential class of customers, and so you pay, if you're a solar customer that, or a residential customer that has solar on your home, you pay the same rates as everyone else who's a residential customer, and then you reduce your rate by your solar production. This bill would allow you to separate out those solar customers and treat them separately, something that we have never done in Iowa.
Julie?
I would just go back to what Reggie on the phone said, that this legislation simply codifies current practice and that you cannot discriminate between utility rate classes unless you have information to back that up. So it codifies what's being done at the federal level. It codifies previous decisions that have been made And it's important that we look at this legislation and make sure that it's a customer-focused bill.
Senator McCoy?
It's a dramatic change in current law, and it would allow for discrimination as I read the language in the bill.
Okay, we've come to the end of the hour. I want to thank all of the guests who've joined us. Many parts of this omnibus energy bill. We talked about a few of them, haven't talked about some of them at all, but I want to thank you for this discussion that we've had today. Josh Mandelbaum, staff attorney at the Environmental Law and Policy Center, also Des Moines City Council member. Senator Matt McCoy, a Democrat from Des Moines. Once again, we reached out to several Republican senators, and they either said they were unavailable or declined this conversation. Julie Vandehoof is the manager of public affairs at Alliant Energy. I want to thank you all for coming into the State House Law Library. And also Joyce Russell, of course, with us, our State House correspondent, guiding us through this very multifaceted bill. Thanks to you all. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Also help from Natalia Reyes. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.